As many of you know, I was not here last week when you were at Bethel, which was ironic. And I wasn't here the week before that either when we were all here, which is less ironic, but still, you know, kind of rude on my part. And I apologize for that. But I had a good reason, I think. I had a good reason for not being here. My wife, Sarah, works at an Irish brew pub up in Everett. I guess it's not a brew pub, it's a pub. And if you didn't know, there was a special holiday recently for people of Irish descent, or people who pretend they're of Irish descent. And when your wife works at an Irish restaurant during St. Patrick's Day, and you have two kids that are little, you have a lot on your hands. So that's where I was this past week, as I was, Sarah worked before St. Paddy's Day and a little bit afterwards as well. This last Friday, we celebrated by going out together on a date. It was awesome. We did not go to her restaurant, though it is a good place to go. We went up to Mukilteo, where one of my aunts, not the one many of you know, hi, Dan, how you doing? Where my aunt Linda and my uncle Gunnar live, so they could watch the kids while we went out to a local restaurant for some food, some time together, and for a drink. As we sat down at the table that night, we each had our pint in front of us. And what do you think the first thing was that we did?
We toasted.
We toasted each other. Actually, I think the first thing we did was just go, but we had a toast. We shared a toast together to remind ourselves of our relationship, our love for one another, our status as a couple, as a team, as a miniature community, you could say. How many of you have read anything of this book that we're using as the kind of source material for the week? Okay, many of you. Good, that helps dramatically. The theme for tonight is talking about lifting the cup. Lifting the cup is the section that he gets into. The idea of taking the glass, taking the chalice on that night, and raising it up for his disciples to see. And I always mispronounce his name. Nowin? Apparently I don't always mispronounce his name. I always think that I mispronounce his name. He talks in there about his story of being a child and the toasts that the adults would share when they had a glass of wine. And that acknowledgement of community, that connection that is a part of doing those toasts. And for those of you who know anything about me as a pastor, you know that I care a lot about community, despite the fact that I wasn't here with you last week, which is kind of ironic when you think about it. Or despite the fact that I'm not doing the Lectio Divina thing tonight and letting all of you chime in at the moment. There's a lot of irony in this message, right? But community is something that means a great deal to me. And upon reading this book, I'm holding it, I should gesture here. Upon reading this book, I had an insight about something in the church. At Bethel, we have this huge stained glass window on one side of the building in the sanctuary. It's huge. And it's supposed to be Jacob's ladder or Jacob's stairway or the stairway to heaven if you're into 1970s progressive rock. Thank you for the three of you who got that. But truth be known, the 2 years I've been there, I have never actually seen that stairway. I've never noticed it. I've never seen a ladder. I've seen this giant angled cross and a whole bunch of little pieces of color. And it wasn't, believe it or not, until I was reading this book that I really decided, because he makes a reference in here to the mosaic of life and the us as individuals coming together in this mosaic as the body of Christ. I went back out to that window and I just stared at it, and it finally clicked to me where the stairway was. It goes off the other direction from the cross. It took me 2 years to notice that thing. Because I've been so focused on the little individual pieces. You know how sometimes you miss the forest for the trees? You can't see the big picture? I couldn't see the big picture. All I could see were the little pieces. I would look at it and I'd be like, well, that piece is really pretty, and that piece is pretty, and that piece looks kind of like a flower, and whatever else, but I could never see how it all fit together until I was reading this book, and I went back and looked. Oh, there is a stairway. And that reminded me of something that we've been doing a lot at Bethel of late. The congregation has a lot of partners in ministry right now. We have about 30 different groups that are in there every week. We have 15 12-step meetings, 5 other churches, 3 social service agencies, community band, the Pacific Northwest Shell Club. They collect shells. They're one of my favorites. All these groups in and out of there every week. And to be perfectly honest with you, the reason that they were first there was because we needed the money. Congregation needed the money. That's, I think, fair to say that was one of the main reasons to bring some of them in. I see a couple Bethelites nodding, so I know they agree with me on that. But a strange thing has been happening these last couple of years. We've been realizing that we had it all wrong. We had it all backwards. We use that name Bethel, and we would think to ourselves that we were talking about just us, Bethel Lutheran Church. Or maybe we would use that name Bethel and we were talking about the building, a physical place that we worship, that we've been entrusted by God to care for. And the thing that we have been slowly, sometimes painfully, but at the same time beautifully becoming aware of, is that really what Bethel is there is all of that. It's all those groups. It's all of that life and ministry that is coming out of that place. You follow me? Don't worry, he's going to wrap it back to here as well. What we're realizing is that, for us at least, as a congregation, our call is not just to be this one small Lutheran church in North Shoreline. Our call is to be a place where all of these ministries can be birthed, can have a home, and where new connections and new forms of community and life are being made. We actually gather together fairly regularly now with the leadership of 4 of those other churches, all of whom are first-generation immigrant-focused churches, communities of faith. Latino, Korean, and 3 Ethiopian. And working with them has been so eye-opening because they bring this perspective on faith, this perspective on what it means to be a community of faith, what it means to partner together, to work together, that I think sometimes I've forgotten. It's so easy for me, I don't know about for you, but it's so easy for me sometimes as a white, middle-class, somewhat upwardly mobile, American, born and bred, to take some of those things that I have for granted, the opportunities that I have been given. And it's been amazing to talk to some of them and to listen to their stories, their lives, where they came from, the things that they have dealt with and seen. Page 63, if you have your book. No one says this. I really got a kick out of it. Nothing is sweet or easy about community. That is so true. As we have been trying to work more deliberately with these other groups, we have been reminded time and time again that nothing is easy about community. Especially if you're trying to deal with 4 different languages. That's a whole new kettle of fish. Community is a fellowship of people who do not hide their joys and sorrows, but make them visible to each other in a gesture of hope. In community, we say life is full of gains and losses, joys and sorrows, ups and downs, but we do not have to live it alone. We want to drink our cup together and thus celebrate the truth that the wounds of our individual lives, which seem intolerable when lived alone, become sources of healing when we live them as part of a fellowship of mutual care.
Community is like a large mosaic. Each little piece seems so insignificant. One piece is bright red, another cold blue or dull green, another warm purple, another sharp yellow, another shining gold. Some look precious, others ordinary. Some look valuable, others worthless. Some look gaudy, others delicate. As individual stones, we can do little with them except compare them and judge their beauty and value. When, however, all these little stones are brought together in one mosaic, portraying the face of Christ, who would ever question the importance of any one of them? If one of them, even the least spectacular one, is missing, the face is incomplete. Together in the one mosaic, each little stone is indispensable and makes a unique contribution to the glory of God. That is community, a fellowship of little people who together make God visible in the world. One of my favorite things that has happened in the short time that I have been blessed to be a pastor in this area has been getting to work with your congregation, with the youth. I think some of you know this. I hope some of you know this. Maybe all of you know this. If you don't, well, now you do. We've been slowly doing things together, Edmonds Lutheran Church, Bethel Lutheran Church, as well as Prince of Peace Lutheran in Shoreline, and Light of the Cross in Bothell. And it hasn't always worked the way we've wanted. It hasn't always been easy. But I promise you that the looks on those kids' faces, when they get a chance to be connected to other youth their age, to recognize that the body of Christ shows up in so many places, in so many different ways, it's heartwarming. I don't have a spectacular finish for you tonight. I could ask you for your thoughts, but that would just make things go longer. Be honest, I'll talk for a bit. But what I would like to do, again, is thank you for your faith. Thank you for your willingness to be a part of something bigger than yourselves. To be a part of the congregation that you call home. To be a part of the Northwest Washington Synod. Be a part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Everything we do as community. We just don't always realize it. Amen.